Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play music in the spoken word.
Now playing music in the spoken word.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just
day.
A sunny day.
Ooh, yeah. Hey.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse, a shortened edition today as we make way for a general conference coverage that gets underway at 9:30, which means you have about 22 minutes to get in your calls and questions. Phone lines are open at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Ton, next texter wants to know, can they still prune their butterfly bush, or is it too late?
Do it now, but they're fine to prune it. I thought you were going to say you have 22 minutes to get to the conference center.
No.
Well,
you have longer. You have more time than that. And you know, the nice thing is it stopped snowing. It was snowing hard here downtown, and it kind of cleared up, so it's kind of nice.
Still overcast, but the clouds are breaking a bit, so.
Next person is asking how to get rid of those little violet-type flowers in their lawn.
They're probably lawn violets, and they were planted as a ground cover. Something containing triclopyr will knock them out eventually, and so T-zone or turf lawn ester is another one.
How many times have I asked you this question? Several.
Yeah, and it
takes a while to get them to go away.
It takes two or three sprays to really get them. They're very resistant to most herbicides.
So when you say two or three sprays,
you don't want to do them consecutively. It'd be spring to fall to spring.
Okay.
Because the products, at least if they have 2,4-D or dicamba in them or a number of other lawn weed killers that are mixed together, the restriction is spraying twice annually only.
Okay.
Now they could try something like Image All-in-One Lawn Weed Killer. That is really good for bindweed, but it's not as effective on some other weeds. But if they needed to do a midsummer spray, they could rotate with that and knock them back and then hit them again in the fall with T-Zone or Turf Lawn Aster.
Next listener is wondering if there's anyone or anywhere that recommends safe plants for animals. Google has so many conflicting searches, and we've talked about this a few times, but most of these plants aren't, you're not supposed to eat them.
No, and most of them taste nasty enough that, with the exception of maybe puppies, that just eat everything. You know, animals are smart enough to avoid these plants because the taste is so bad. And so I don't get a lot of reports or calls from people saying, my animals ate this, what do I do? Just because the taste of the plant so bad, but they do happen. I'm not a veterinarian, and so I don't see those maybe as much. You know, the one I would avoid that is more of a danger to horses, cattle, deer, elk are the ewes, and it's YEW. And if they get into the digestive system of an ungulate, like, you know, what all these I've just mentioned, the digestive juices, the acids and things will convert chemicals in the needles of the ewe to cyanide, and it kills the deer or whatever ate it very quickly. But over the last 5 or 6 years, at least once a year, I've heard of entire herds of deer being killed because they were starving and fed on ewes in a residential area. And then the next morning there's a dead herd. And so that's the one, if you live in areas where you have deer coming in or horses or cattle, that's one to avoid.
Are there any resources, though, that they can turn to places
there
where
there are some poisonous plant pamphlets that are you can download, but they're meant more for horses and cattle and not for dogs.
Okay. And they mainly talk about which ones are poisonous, not which ones are safe, because there's a liability issue here, right?
Correct. But, you know, the user would be one I'd avoid. Anything in the ranunculus family, the buttercup family, and there are many of those. If you look up buttercup family or ranunculus family,
a bunch
on
of those in my yard. Okay.
Those are ones you might avoid. Lupins are some other ones that you might avoid also.
All right. Kelly is on the line in Mountain Green. Good morning, Kelly. What was your question this morning?
Yes. I can't remember how many more winters it was past that we had so much snow and the deer would come down and they would just eat all the evergreens like halfway up, even blue spruce. You know, it's been, I think, a couple of years since then, and it looks like the growth is coming back, but is there anything I can put this spring to help the growth?
Just some fertilizer to see if you can help stimulate some extra growth. The only way to keep the deer out is to have an 8-foot fence around areas.
We did do that this year, and it helped it, but I didn't know if it's just going to take years maybe for it to come back.
You have evergreens, needled evergreens, that were munched back into brown wood. For the upper branches to grow out far enough and then weep down, it will take years.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that.
All right, Kelly. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener wants to know if there's a good vine that can grow in the shade. They had a honeysuckle there, but it has died.
I get really cautious because the shade-tolerant vine is English ivy.
Oh, no.
You've had some experience with that recently.
Don't do it. Digging it out is just another thing.
It literally cements itself into wood, masonry, cement.
It takes over.
And
it's beautiful. Don't get me wrong, but man, yeah, it just unless you want it to take over. Ugh.
It pits cement and masonry because it's used calcium carbonate dissolved into water, and it exudes it right in to hold itself. And so you're pulling out little BB-sized chunks, and it just really ruins the surface of masonry, especially and cement.
How about the hydrangea vine?
Climbing hydrangea does the same thing, although it is beautiful.
Okay.
It adheres.
The one that I have has grown so slowly that it's not taking over anything.
But it's very slow, but it does adhere. I would need to look it up, but it does adhere directly to the wall without support. And there's two ways of doing that. And that's one, growing tendrils into the cement, or cementing itself with calcium carbonate from the water and soil.
Hmm. I have mine growing on a trellis. But like I said, it's only gotten about 3 feet
and so
high,
if you're
and I've had it for 10 years.
You're most likely fine.
Okay.
But the biggest climbing hydrangeas I've seen that have covered a wall have been 30 and 40 years old.
Okay. Well, they're not talking about a wall necessarily. So
no.
They might be
and
okay
so
with
climbing hydrangea
like
may be something they can look at.
And there's nothing else that you can grow in the shade, huh?
No. The English ivy is the other thing, and I don't dare really recommend it.
Okay. Next listener would like to know, have any commercial growers planted corn yet? And if so, what varieties?
Nah. It's
too early.
Yep. Take a nap, read a book. You know, the earliest sweet corn usually goes in late April. You want your soil temperatures at 60, preferably around 65. And then if you want, you can either succession plant the same variety over and over every week to 10 days, or you can wait till say early May and plant 3 or 4 varieties and do an extremely early, mid and late season and stagger it that way.
All right. Number to call with your questions, and the phone lines are open at 801-575-8255. You can text us 57500.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you know you can get the three things you need to know delivered right to you? Just go to KSLNewsRadio.com, click on menu, and then newsletter.
Or go to the KSL News Radio app, and you click on menu, and then it's email alerts.
This is even easier. Just text the word inbox to 57500.
Get the top national and local stories with the three things you need to know newsletter.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season two of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you for the next few minutes, taking your calls and questions before we make way for our general conference coverage, which begins at 9:30. Next listener, Ton, would like to know how much fertilizer is needed on an established strawberry patch.
Very little. It's strawberries, if they're over-fertilized, actually grow a lot of green growth and not much fruit. And so if the strawberries are healthy and you're getting sufficient fruit, I wouldn't fertilize them.
It's kind of the same thing that happens with, like, tomatoes.
It is.
You don't want just all green. You want the
fruit.
It
is. And if they're wondering about it, USU has some strawberry fact sheets that are easy to download. And so you just do an internet search of USU and raising strawberries and it'll bring it up. But that's the first thing it would do. But it's recommended that you fertilize little to none.
Phone line is open. You can call now, 801-575-8255. Next listener would like to know, can you tell them the best way and time to plant oriental poppies and iris?
The oriental poppies are usually available in the spring through summer. And you can get the little starts from the garden centers. I prefer to go to a garden center. And they are one of the few poppies that are actually relatively easy to transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll just buy them from the garden center and plant them.
Wouldn't plant them by seed?
No, you could, but it would take them 2 or 3 years to really blossom. Get established.
Not very satisfying.
No, and so I would just consider getting 3 or 4 of them and just planting them. If you needed more, then you could maybe start your own and get them up and going and plant them out, knowing that it would be anywhere from 2 to 3 years before they started to blossom.
And can you plant iris by seed?
No.
I've never, they're a tuber type thing.
You can plant iris at a lot of different times of the year. There's a time in early summer that they're divided. There's another time that you can divide them in mid-August. And then you can purchase them through the growing season in containers mm-hmm. already established. And so they're very adaptable plants.
They really are. I've moved mine a million times after I've thinned them out and I've given them to neighbors.
Yeah.
Iris are pretty hardy.
Yeah. The Iris Society usually comes on in the spring talking about their iris events. And it's amazing at how adaptable they are.
What I'm amazed at, though, is the different varieties of iris that you can find.
Yeah, and there we covered last week the dwarf iris that you see now, but there are iris that'll bloom from late March through June, depending on the species. And they have all sorts of different looks and heights. Some of the swamp iris can get up to 6 feet tall. Others are barely 6 inches.
It's daylilies, too. I've been amazed at how many different varieties of day. I mean, when daylilies first became popular, they were just the orange daylilies. And now you can find them in every color, variegated colors. It's just amazing.
It is. And the orange one that you usually see is called Stella d'Oro. And they're in the industry, they're just called Stellas. And the reason that you probably have 2 Stella d'Oro daylilies planted for every one of any other variety is they have a lot longer bloom time. And so the Stellas, if it's below 90 degrees, they will just bloom the entire summer. But once you're above 90, they stop and then they pick up again in the fall. And so they're also somewhat shade tolerant, much more than given credit. And so any of the daylilies are just spectacular.
Right. And I like the shorter ones, too. Like you mentioned, even with the irises, there are shorter ones, there are taller ones, but there are the shorter ones that are the yellow ones that bloom in the midsummer that are really beautiful as well.
Yeah.
And they look more like a little bush than just a single stalk type plant.
Yes. And, you know, going back to, I guess, when things were a little bit more simple and there's still people doing it, but you can be a part of iris societies that people have spent their entire lives breeding iris with the goal of getting it enough merit that it could be introduced to the general public.
I love that.
And there's, I know of two or three breeders that have gotten close, but still haven't quite gotten there. And it's been a 30 or 40 year project.
Okay. Brian is on the line in Lehigh. Good morning, Brian. What was your question?
It's still bearing fruit, but the bark on the base and on some of the branches has peeled away. It's dried, it's peeled, and it's exposing a lot of dry wood. What is to be done for that tree?
Let me give you a few things to look up in case we run out of time. So first thing, do you have a pen and paper handy?
I do.
Okay, look up Southwest winter injury.
Okay.
Greater peach tree borer, B-O-R-E-R, then Pseudomonas, and let me spell this, P-S-E-U-D-O, M-O-N, Pseudomonas, P-S-E-U-D-O, M-O-N-A-S, so Pseudomonas canker, and Cytospora canker, C-Y-T-O, S-P-O-R-A. Cytospora is likely cause and maybe greater peach tree borer. Do you have, besides the bark peeling off, do you see gumming around the base of the tree, right at the soil?
No, not really.
Good. That may exclude greater peach tree borer. And do you see gumming on the trunk?
Okay, I don't.
You don't. Good. And so it could simply be Southwest winter injury, where you need to start wrapping the tree in the fall and then taking the wrap off in the spring. And it's a white gauze tree tape that has no sticky on it. And that will help. But I also, with it now being injured, I would thoroughly and carefully treat it for greater peach tree borer. And so I would subscribe to the USU Pest Lab updates for fruit and just do an internet search, like on Google or whatever, USU fruit update subscription, and subscribe to that. And there's other updates you can subscribe to. They're free. Your information isn't shared.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Brian, thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, wants to know, they started ranunculus inside. They're about 4 inches tall. Are they safe to put them outside yet?
Yes, they are.
Next person wants to know, how do you get rid of Russian sage? No laughing allowed.
No.
Is that bad?
And pre-emergent, you may have to kill it out with Roundup, or at least try to. That stuff is a survivor. And so I'm not going to compare it to a cockroach.
Oh my.
But people say cockroaches can survive a nuclear bomb, and Russian sage can too.
Okay. We are going to take a break, come back with the bottom of the hour news, and then our general conference coverage will begin. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. We'll be back next week from 8 to 11, the full time. You can also find us on podcasts at kslpodcast.com and check out all of our great information on our Facebook page and Instagram as well. Have a great morning.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.